Het is zondagmorgen en dit is Hour of Power, een programma waar veel jongeren en ouderen naar uitkijken. En iedereen van harte welkom in onze jubileummaand. We vieren ons 12,5-jarig bestaan. En daar zijn we natuurlijk buitengewoon dankbaar voor. Dankbaar voor al die gasten die we mogen interviewen, zoals vanmorgen Tas Sada. Hij was een terrorist, heeft mensen vermoord in opdracht, haatte Joden en christenen. En vandaag zit hij hier op de bank samen met Johan Voordewind, parlementariër, om te vertellen wat het is om je naaste lief te hebben als jezelf en hoe Jezus je leven verandert. En dat komt ook tot uiting in de preek van dominee Schuller. Die spreekt over het gebod, gij zult niet echt breken. En verder veel muziek in de Crystal Cathedral. De drie tenoren zingen het Onze Vader en het jongerenkoor zingt over de 10 geboden. Kortom, een prachtige uitzending en ik hoop dat je er uitbundig van zult genieten en ook bemoedigd door zult worden. Wij gaan naar de Crystal Cathedral.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral. The day that God has planned and he's made it for you, and you are where he wants you today. So this is the day that he has made. We are rejoicing, we are glad in it. Now, dear God, this is your day. You have a plan and we are a part of it. Hallelujah. May this be the place where the heart beats stronger with hope and confidence. And may tomorrow be the brightest Monday they've had in a long, long time. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. One of the most beautiful passages in Scripture these 2,000 years all over the world to Christians. Psalm 91. Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night or the destruction that lays waste at noonday, because you have made the Lord, even the Most High, your habitation. So no evil will befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, because you have set your love upon me, says the Lord. Because you have set your love upon me, says the Lord, I will deliver you. I will set you on high, because you have known my name. You will call upon me, and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Wait till you get to meet this man. I was thrilled to be able to read his book, The Promise of Hope. Edward Grinnan is the editor-in-chief of Guidepost Magazine and Guidepost Publications. He is Yale-educated. He began working at Guidepost 25 years ago. He was looking for a job, any job. Many of you know what that is like. He was looking for a job, any job, got hired at Guidepost, and little did they know that Edward was on a, had not even begun a spiritual journey and was suffering with the grips of alcohol addiction. He shares his story and the story of many, many others that will give you hope in this book, The Promise of Hope. Please welcome with me Edward Grinnan. Edward.
Good morning.
What a pleasure.
What a pleasure it is to be here. It is a blessing and an honor. I bring greetings from the Peel family and greetings from the Guidepost family for all of you.
Tell us, you graduated from Yale.
I did.
And eventually started working at Guidepost. And anybody hearing that would say you had the perfect, picture-perfect life.
Well, yes, you would think that. But in the few years between the time I got to Guideposts and I, from when I graduated with Yale, this was a very difficult story for me to tell because
yes.
I hadn't shared it with anybody publicly. Mm. I hadn't shared it with the people at Guidepost, so they didn't know about it.
Really?
And certainly the readership hadn't learned about it. But I was within a year of graduating from the Yale School of Drama. I was living on the streets, basically. I was bouncing in and out of flop houses, and I was bumming spare change on the street so I could keep drinking at 7 o'clock in the morning and picking up cigarette butts. My life had become completely out of my control, and I had no solution to it. I lived a day at a time, but that day at a time was living in the addiction of alcoholism.
Yeah.
And the book is very much how coming to Guideposts changed that for me. Because I did come to Guideposts. It wasn't that I didn't believe in God, but I didn't believe that God believed in me. Mm-hmm. I thought there was no room for me in God's plan. Mm-hmm. And in coming to Guideposts, I was told by some people that I needed to get a job, any job, and hang on to it for 1 year.
Oh.
And when I got to Guideposts, and I knew very little about Guideposts, I thought, this feels like a good place to be for a year. I'll work on my resume, I'll use the Xerox machine, and I'll see where I am in 12 months and move on. And I began to talk to people who tell their stories in Guideposts. As you know, the magazine is full of these wonderful personal stories. And as those stories began to seep into me and to reach a place that I didn't realize existed inside of me, that mm-hmm. had been put there, I began to change, and I began to see the things that people do to change themselves and their lives. And I was able in the book to develop what I call the 9 keys to personal change. But myself, I think stories are the roadmaps of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we share our stories, I think everybody has a Guidepost story for one thing. And I think when we share our stories, we change ourselves and we grow and we help other people change and grow. And unbeknownst to me, this 1 year job at Guideposts and beginning to hear these people's stories began to lead me on a journey of faith that has been remarkable and undeserved, but I am very grateful.
Well, the book is really amazing, Edward.
Dr. Schuller and Dr. Peel inspired me through every chapter of this book. It is, I think all change is a miracle. And I think there are people who can change without the help of God, but most of the people I know, and certainly me, changed because they were able to turn to God and ask for the power. And God is there with the strength to help you change. Mm-hmm. And I think we grow the most in our deepest moments of adversity. At least that's what I find.
Yes,
that,
I agree.
That we are in a journey of happiness and joy, but sometimes it's those darker moments in our lives where we really grow to the point where we can achieve that happiness and joy.
Yeah.
The other thing I did at Guideposts was I read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I had I love books, and I was educated in books, and I truly, truly love books. But I'd never read a book that loved me until I read the Bible. Finally, in my 30s, I found a book that I not only loved, but loved me back. And I wanted to try to write a book that at least tries to love people in its writing.
Yeah, and I hope I've done that. You have done that. What would you say to somebody who is today where you were at your lowest point?
I would say that even at your lowest point, there is hope. God is there. And sometimes we have to get to those points in our lives that are so difficult that all that is left is God and the position you're in. Everything else has been stripped away from your life except you and your situation, and that's where God meets you. You know, he may not have met you along the way that you know, but it's those moments when you're struggling the most that he is there and he meets you there and he leads you through that pain. That's what he did for me. He did it in ways and at times I didn't even know was happening. I only happened, there's a chapter in the book where I talk about where I was going to take my life. I was actually sitting in a 21st, on a hotel room on a 21st floor of a Sheraton with one leg out the window.
Really?
One leg in the room. And I was willing to, whatever happened. And we don't have time to go into it, but at that moment a miracle occurred in my life. And from that point on, I realized that God had met me, and now he was going to take me and lead me out.
So people who feel like they have no hope, that they even struggle within themselves with the whole concept of, well, I don't want to have false hope. I don't want to be disappointed anymore. You are here today to say there is always hope.
There is always hope. Hope, because there is always God.
There's always God.
And as long as there's God, there's hope. And that hope is there for you.
Yeah. God bless you. Thank you for what
Thank
you are doing.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
It's a great book. If you need hope, you need a chunk of hope, and if you need a chunk of hope in your heart today, this book will do it. I promise you. So God bless
you.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you.
one you see in Anne's house or wife, that's the list, and God insists we stay away from these sins. That is why we memorize commandments 1 through 10. The perfect 10, the perfect 10. They're just as true as they were way back when. God gave the perfect 10, the perfect 10. God gave the perfect 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The perfect 10.
Het koor van de Crystal Cathedral, het jongerenkoor, zong The Perfect Ten, de perfecte 10 over de 10 geboden. En ik heb vanmorgen 2 bijzondere gasten. Allereerst Tas Sada. Hij werd ook wel de slager van de PLO genoemd. De man die een sluipschutter was en bevriend met Yasser Arafat en de christenen en joden haatte. En daar gaat hij over vertellen wat er in zijn leven is gebeurd. En verder Joël Voor de Wind. Een parlementariër die zich inzet voor de rechten van de mens. En dat doet hij met grote ijver, als ik dat zo mag zeggen. En Joël, goedemorgen. Ik begin met jou. Fijn dat je er bent. Ja. Dank je wel dat je je vriend hebt meegenomen, die een zeer boeiend verhaal heeft. Maar ik begin bij jou. De 10 geboden, ruim 3000 jaar geleden, door God aan Mozes gegeven op stenen tafelen. Hoe actueel zijn ze nog?
Nou, erg actueel vind ik nog steeds. Het geeft natuurlijk ons als mensen een richtlijn hoe we met elkaar moeten omgaan. De eerste 5 zijn natuurlijk gericht hoe onze relatie met God zou kunnen zijn. Maar ook hoe we met elkaar moeten omgaan. Dat heeft natuurlijk alles te maken met mensenrechten in de wereld. Met de situatie hoe je in Nederland met elkaar omgaat. Hoe je omziet naar kwetsbare groepen. Mensen die niet mee kunnen komen. Chronisch zieken, gehandicapten, et cetera. Maar ook worden we opgeroepen om naar onze geloofsgenoten om te zien. En wat dat gaat, probeer ik binnen politiek wel altijd hard te maken. Om op te komen voor christenen die verdrukt worden in de wereld.
Wat heeft het meeste indruk op je gemaakt als het gaat om mensen in verdrukking?
Toch wel de mensen in Noord-Irak. Daar ben ik een paar keer geweest. En de verhalen die je hoort als je dan de weduwe spreekt van de mannen die zijn vermoord, de mannen die zijn gemarteld, de zonen die zijn vermoord. Waarbij eerst de vrouwen dan hun bezittingen verkopen, hun huis verkopen in de hoop dat ze hem vrij kunnen krijgen. En dan vervolgens toch niet hun man terugkrijgen. Ja, dat zijn hele schrijnende verhalen. Ja.
Het Midden-Oosten is al een jaar in beroering. Regimes vallen in landen als Egypte, Jordanië, Syrië, Tunesië leven relatief veel christenen. Die krijgen het moeilijk onder het moslimfundamentalisme.
Ja, enorm. Vooral als je ziet dat die omwentelingen er komen. Aan de ene kant ben ik er erg blij mee dat een soort democratie, een volkswil opstaat en die zegt, wij accepteren niet meer dat een dictator ons onderdrukt. Dat we geen vrijheid hebben om onze mening te uiten, geen vrijheid hebben om politieke partijen op te richten. Aan de andere kant maak ik me ook alweer zorgen over waar dat dan toe leidt. Hè? Als mensen die de sharia willen volgen en dat ook in de grondwet, in de wetgeving verder alleen maar aansterken op het moment dat er een nieuwe democratie komt met fundamentalistische partijen, zoals we weten van de moslimbroederschap in Egypte. Ja, dan maak ik me grote zorgen of die godsdienstvrijheid, of de christenen in die landen nog wel een geloof in vrijheid kunnen beleven, ook in de toekomst.
Ja, Tas, I welcome you in our program. Thank you for coming.
You have been a,
yes. I tell your story in Dutch. You bent een beruchte terrorist geweest. Je bijna was de slager. Je hebt mensen vermoord. Je was bevriend met Yasser Arafat, de leider in die tijd van de PLO. En je haatte christenen en joden met een dodelijke haat. You hated Christians and Jews with a deadly hate. Why?
At the time, the Jews, I believe, took my land. And I grew up as a refugee in Saudi Arabia and in Qatar. And so I grew up believing that they are the ones who caused me to be an immigrant and a refugee. And naturally the teaching of the fundamentalist Islam also. As the Christians, we believe the Christians are spies for Israel. And they are in favor of Israel. So I thought, okay, if I can eliminate the Jews, I also want to eliminate the Christians. And that's how I looked at it at the time. So thank God for the change that took place in my life.
You even had a nickname, a notorious one, the Butcher, which is not a very nice name.
That's true, because I was a butcher. I mean, and I'm not taking any pride or joy in that, but I was given that code name because of my violent behavior in battle and in, even in on the streets. I was a very violent man.
Yeah. Once you had a plan to assassinate the Prince of Jordan, which is quite something.
Yes. The Crown Prince of Jordan at the time was the enemy of our Palestinians than even King Hussein himself was. And he did a lot of things that infuriated me personally. And I made a decision. This was on my own. PLO was not aware of my plans, just me and my team. We went after him. We heard he was coming through our area. So we went after him, and we shot one of the three cars. They drive in three cars. So we shot one of the cars, and he wasn't in it. He was a cat with nine lives. Yeah.
So. And you too, I guess.
That's true. I really give that, I go back to the grace of God that have kept me from being killed many times.
What is it, Tas, to live a life full of hatred and full of bitterness?
It's not an easy life. It's a devastating life. And I see the difference when I, on the moment that I gave my heart to Jesus, on my knees, and all this burden just coming off my shoulder, all this hatred was taken out and filled with love for the Jewish people. And for me to become a Christian after what I've done is the most unlikely thing I would do. But because of His power that appeared to me and said, I am the way, the truth, and life, I saw Him in a light speaking to me. I could not reject, and I could not resist even all the threats that came at me, including my own brother, who sent assassins after me. I still could not reject Jesus.
You never doubted Him?
Never doubted Him. From the minute I said, yes, Lord, You are my Savior, until today, I never really, if I can think back, I had arguments with God. I fought. I was unhappy about certain things I read in the Bible about Israel and their right to the land, and that He gave them the land. That drove me wild. I mean, I throw the Bible across the room saying, you are not a just God. I don't want to have anything to do with you. But in His grace, He never left me. When I first gave my heart to Jesus, naturally, having been a Muslim, and I've been to Mecca 10 times in my life. I did the Hajj 10 times. When I first gave my heart to Jesus, you know, from a Muslim background, you always, oh God, you know, you fear and tremble. But the more you get to know Jesus, the more this fear turned into adoration and love and awe of Him. And that's the difference. Whenever you think of God in Islam, oh God, He's gonna smite me. But when you think of God in Christianity, you think of His love, His blood on the cross, His sacrifice. You think of God sent His only begotten Son to die for us. Muhammad sent our children to die for Him. And that's the difference.
Wow.
Between God, the true God, and Muhammad's God.
A lot of people, church leaders, Christians, Muslims, do long for reconciliation with respect for each other's faith. But is reconciliation possible? For example, the five Bible books are the same for Islam. There seems to be a lot of coherent situations.
I really believe there is hope, and since my salvation, I've really felt my calling is to reconcile Arabs and Jews. Yeah. And yes, there is a hope of reconciliation, but the way I found the reconciliation possible is when we are reconciled to the Father, and then we are reconciled to each other. Once we are putting our baggages down at the foot of the cross, then we go to the other side of the cross fully free and able to reconcile. I've seen this with myself, with Jewish believers, how we begin to see it, the same thing, feel the same thing. And so I believe there is hope. There is hope.
De toekomst. We zijn niet meer zo optimistisch over de toekomst. Alle gebeurtenissen in de wereld. Hoe kijk jij naar de toekomst?
Ja, ik ben een optimistisch mens. Dus anders zou ik ook niet in de politiek zitten met een aantal idealen. Maar ik denk dat de werkelijke vrede in je hart, maar ook de vrede in de wereld pas komt op het moment dat Christus terugkomt. Maar tegelijkertijd, net zoals Martin Luther heeft gezegd, plant ik vandaag met hem en morgen plant ik een boom. Oftewel, tot die tijd hebben we de oproep vanuit Gods woord om ons in te zetten voor de mensen die het moeilijk hebben op dit moment.
Ja. Ik plant met je mee hoor, planten we samen boom.
Gezellig.
Ja. Ja. But thank you so much for your impressive testimony.
Thank you for having me.
Also the love that you share for either the Palestinians, which I do truly love, the Palestinians, and also the Jews. And let's hope that this people will reconcile.
I love the Jews too, yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. And I wish you many blessings in your efforts to bring
thank
reconciliation
you.
To the Holy Land and to the land of the Palestinians, and yes. Hopefully one day.
One day we'll be all together. Yes, I yes. believe that.
Voordat je afsluit, wilden we nog jou het boek van Tas aanbieden.
Kijk.
Het is het boek waar hij zijn verhaal vertelt en wat ook mij gegrepen heeft om hem samen met zijn uitgever naar Nederland te halen. Ja. En het boek, de kern van het boek is natuurlijk waar hij het net over had, verzoening.
Ja.
Tussen Joden en Palestijnen, tussen christenen en Palestijnen en Joden. En bij deze, van harte aanbevolen.
Arafat was mijn held.
Ja.
Well, was is the key.
Yes, yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, I will read it with great, great joy and pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank
you. And I also want to give you a gift. It's a daily devotional. And today is October the 16th, and you live in Jericho. And in Jericho, you have the Valley of the Shadow. A very famous valley. David talks about it in Psalm 23. And lo and behold, Psalm 23, verse 4 is today's.
Thank you very much. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It is today's.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yes, I would love for you both to come to Jericho and I'll take you to the valley.
It's
we'll
a promise.
Share, we'll
I will
share
be there,
a devotion
I will be there
together.
In a few weeks, so.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, you'll love this for you.
Thank you very much.
Geweldig. Twee mensen die zich inzetten in de politiek en in het land zelf voor verzoening tussen mensen. En wat is er mooier dan dat? Een van de opdrachten uit de 10 geboden: heb je naasten lief als jezelf. Robbie Schuller de derde, zoals hij heet, oftewel de kleinzoon van dominee Schuller, is in ons land. En hij hoopt aanstaande zaterdag, die maandag erop, te spreken in de Rehobothkerk in Hilversum. Er zijn nog wat plaatsen vrij. Gaat een aantal toespraken houden en iedereen is daarbij van harte welkom. Het thema is All You Need Is Love. En dat is een bekende popsong, maar het gaat over een ander thema. De liefde die apostel Paulus dreef om in de wereld van zijn tijd het evangelie door te geven, zoals we het ook net gehoord hebben. In de voetsporen van Paulus, een bijzondere serie preken. Ik hoop velen van u te ontmoeten. Wij gaan terug naar de Christelijke Kathedraal, waar de drie tenoren zingen.
Oh. us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory
Thank you. These weeks in this pulpit, you are hearing messages on the Ten Commandments. We have a title to this series. It's called The Best Life Possible. Live by these Ten Commandments and you will be blessed more than you can imagine. Not to keep the joy from life, but to put real joy and self-esteem and self-respect and pride of personhood into humanity. Today we're talking about this commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, I'm 84 and a half years old. Do I need this commandment? Yes, we all need it at any age. Because this is a commandment that helps put into life the most important and powerful thing you can possibly have. And that's called trust. Live by these Ten Commandments. You'll build a reputation. You'll develop a character. You'll become to be known as some kind of a person that can be trusted. Yes, they see you and they think, trust that person. To be trusted. That's the big payoff as we live by God's grace in these Ten Commandments. Trust. That means we will attract a certain kind of people to us. People that respect trusting people. What happens when you follow in the path of God? What happens when you do not yield to temptations? I must say something. For some reason, I am a very healthy heterosexual human, happily married for 61 years this past week to Arvella. 61 years. My witnesses, I have never in my earthly life been sexually tempted to live with sex outside of my marriage to my one and only wife. I don't know why, I guess I'm so satisfied. In my heart, I have love. She trusts me. Hey, that's the big word, trust. You earn that kind of a reputation when you live up to this commandment. Trust. Nothing else can take the place if that's not there. Trust. Wow. This is a commandment then that builds real relationships. Relationships are when people care about you. They laugh with you. They cry with you. They pray with you. My life is rich because I have such rich relationships. You're sitting here. I'm looking at you week after week. Thank you. Why do I have this relationship? Because you trust me. That will never be violated. You'll never be disappointed. Never have been, never will be. Trust. Now, you know, if you break the seventh commandment, the terrible thing is you break all 10. The first commandment, you're not to choose another god. You break the seventh commandment, you pick pleasure or sex, another god. Commandment number 2, do not impugn the image of God in you. You break the seventh commandment and you no longer are a mirror reflecting the image of the holy God. You break the seventh commandment, you break all 7. I don't need to go through all 7. You can't do that. It's just that, why is this commandment of God put number 7 between 6 and 8? Thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal. Between those 2, don't commit adultery. Or you kill something, and it will probably never be totally forgotten. It may be forgiven. The little boy took a hammer and a nail, and he drove the nail through a piece of furniture, and his father scolded him severely. And the penitent child took a hammer and extracted the nail, held it up to show his father, dropped his eyes, said nothing, then looked back and said, "But Daddy, the hole is still there. Thou shalt not commit adultery." Yes, the fourth commandment, honor the Sabbath day. We honor this day when we live right. You go through the rest of the commandments. You break the seventh commandment and you scratch or fracture or break all 10. Nothing is more important than to be the kind of person that those around you can trust. Trust completely. I've lived the kind of a life where I've had to travel alone to all parts of the world. And you can imagine that would introduce sinners to me, hoping to seduce my business. Never been tempted. I've never been tempted. Wonderful. Live trustfully. Boy, will you be honored. I am honored. I am greatly honored. No matter where I go in the world, people may not agree with my religion, but they honor me. It's because I do not abuse my precious relationships. I am known for being a trustworthy husband and father. Build trust, and you've built a life. And that's your choice completely. You can hear me say it, but you'll soon be walking out, making your own decisions. Thou shalt not commit adultery. No. You'll lose the most important thing in life. The price you pay is no longer being a trustworthy person like you are today. Hallelujah. And so I ask you now, where are you You're a human being and you carry a bomb inside of you. The power to break this commandment. Sex is an enormous power. It is in every life. Marriage, that kind of a relationship, is the best immunity to adultery. Years ago, many, many years ago, this is my, 61st year, I think, something. But there were parents of a boy, and the parents belonged to this church. Their son was a soldier, and he was on the ship when in World War II it was attacked by an enemy aircraft. He happened to be on the flight deck and took a 20-millimeter shell. It entered his chest through the stomach and lodged in his hip without exploding. It was the kind of a shell that was to explode whenever it hit anything, however light. They didn't know what to do with him. Well, they got him on a cot, moved him to a neighboring ship. They hung a tag around his waist that read, "Caution, live bomb." Well, they got him to the hospital ship without the bomb exploding. Later in surgery, they were so afraid it would explode with just surgery alone. Well, they succeeded. They safely extricated the 20-millimeter shell from his body. Then to get rid of it safely, they shot it through a piece of tissue paper. When it hit the tissue paper, it exploded. For 2 weeks, he was indeed a living bomb. The power of sex in a human being is a potential living bomb. So how do you handle it? You handle it in building intimate relationships with a spouse, a child, a relative, a neighbor, a friend. But intimate relationships are all important to maintaining our sanity and ourselves. So that's why I say if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it makes all the difference in the world. Why have I never exploded? Why have I never bombed out? It's thanking Christ, my Savior. And I want you to have that security that I have. Today, enter into a private prayer with the Lord. Ask Jesus to come in and save you. Wow. I don't know when I first experienced it. Not in my childhood home. My mother never baked souffles. We were Dutch people, and I don't think any Dutch families ever baked souffles. I don't know when I first had my first souffle, but it came out and put before me. Oh, tall, light, feathery. And I dipped the spoon in, and this fragrant steam came out. Boy, I had a dessert like I never had before in my life. I had discovered something that would be my joy and, to some degree, my pain. For they're not low calorie. And what a delicacy. Then I remember, particularly one time after that, I was in Hawaii, and I was to take my wife out to dinner, and I wanted her to have a souffle for dessert, so I called restaurants. Do you bake souffles? Oh, no, sorry. I called and called. Somebody said to me, oh, try the souffle in the Shells of Colony Surf Hotel. So I called. Do you bake souffles? Oh, yes. We bake chocolate souffles, vanilla souffles. They're the best. I said, then I want to make dinner reservations. So I made dinner reservations. We got there, and when the waiter came to pick up our menu, I said, first of all, let me start with the dessert. He smiled. Yes, I said, because I've come here especially for the dessert. Oh, and what is that? I said, that's a baked souffle. Oh, he said, I'm sorry, we don't bake souffles. I said, but I called and you said you did. Oh, he said, yes, yes, normally we do, but tonight is special. And the chef said to us, don't take any souffle orders tonight. Oh, may I talk to the general manager? So he called the general manager who came, and I said I needed a souffle. That's why I came here. And the general manager listened. He said, Dr. Schuller, I'm sorry. We can't bake souffles tonight. I said, who's the boss here, you or the chef? He raised his eyebrows. He said, I think the chef is. Oh. Well, let me talk to the chef. He shook his head back and forth. He left the room. A little while later, out of the back room came a man with a tall white hat. Ha! The boss. It didn't look like he was a happy face. Didn't look happy at all. He came marching with a who are you thing. And he got about halfway to me, and suddenly the face changed. It became a look that I know. It's the look that says, oh, you're Dr. Schuller. I watch you on television. And he smiled, and he said, Dr. Schuller, so happy to have you. What could I do for you tonight? And I said, I'd like a souffle for dessert. Oh, he said, that's no problem. I bake the best souffles. As I wanted, not for personal reasons, but I'm going to preach Sunday on love, and I want to start with an illustration that love is the souffle of life. I thought that would be pretty neat. So I have to get into it, I have to say, I had a souffle the other night. No problem. I'll bake you a souffle. And when the time came, he came back out of the kitchen with the most beautiful vanilla souffle. It was fantastic. And every time I go back there, I don't ask for it, but there's a souffle waiting for me. And the nicest thing about it is there's always a note with our compliments. Isn't that nice? You know what that means? It means it's free. Oh, wow. It's two ways to choose to live. Only one way gives you the best life. I've lived the best life possible. It's because trust is the core of my life. And you know it. You can feel it, and others can. And they, that's you, are my blessing from the Lord. Hallelujah. Trust! Build that kind of a life. Create that kind of a character. Develop that kind of a reputation. Live that way, and don't ever crack it. Dear Lord, oh, We are where we have to be today in church. Here, we're drawn close to you. Our lives become good. Thanks be to Christ our Savior. Amen. Now, I pray that God gave you a special touch today. In these moments together, in this place which is packed with private prayers, and the Spirit lingers all around us. Now, get ready to go out and face the world. They haven't been to church. You're the closest thing they'll come to Jesus Christ. So, do it. Be the face of Christ. Be the hands of Christ. Be the feet of Jesus Christ. Be the lips of Christ, to smile and to drop words of hope. Hallelujah. So now may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you in your going out, in your coming in your lying down, in your rising up, in your labor, and in your leisure. Until that day comes when you will stand all alone before Jesus. Amen.
En tot zover deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken. En de boodschap van Hour of Power is dat liefde alles overwint. Ik heb het al gezegd, aanstaande zaterdag en volgende week maandag hoopt Robbie Schuller in Nederland te spreken. En volgende week bij Hour of Power over het thema Je bent geliefd. Je bent een geliefd kind van God. En ja, wat is het prachtig om dat te kunnen zeggen, want het is ook zo. En ik hoop dat jij en u dat ervaart. Wij nemen afscheid en ik hoop dat u heel veel gehad hebt aan deze uitzending. Graag tot volgende week.